Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of That Movie Show. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe taking you through another week of movie talk. You can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. And action movie quarantine is continuing on, Eddie. I know you're excited.
I am excited. I love me some action. You know, it just really, really helps me escape from the hellscape that is 2020.
Right. What's next? I saw an article that a bunch of boars in some country like got into some stash of cocaine and ate it all. So that's what we're going to have next. Cocaine boars.
Yeah, they're cocaine boars in like actual. I mean, since the last time that I think we were on the, you know, on the podcast sphere, the world started rioting.
Oh, there's that. Well, there is that as well. What I like to see when I get my news notifications is dueling protests. That was a couple days ago. We can't even agree on what to hate anymore.
Oh, I know. It's a weird nightmare.
We're going to protest this, and we're going to protest you.
Yeah, right? I know. We watched NASCAR ban the Confederate flag. Everybody be mad about it. A noose show up in the only black driver's garage. The FBI had to be called in. I mean, that was a nonsensical story that I can't believe happened. Because are you familiar with this story?
I am. But didn't they also find out that like the noose was there like a year ago?
Yeah.
Like it was just so, left behind. And
in the most,
you know, I'm not gonna personalize
in the most 2020 thing that could have ever happened where, yeah, look, here's the deal. The same person that like spray paints like, you know, I hate the Jews or something under a bridge is the same person that would tie this noose and think it was like funny to be the pull down, because you definitely didn't need that to be the pull down of that garage. You know what I mean? But of course, it's so 2020 that, you know, Bubba Wallace, the only black driver in NASCAR, just happens to get that stall during everything that's going on.
It doesn't make it right. It's just so convenient that happened.
Yeah. You know,
the fact that it was tied over a year ago and just kind of left behind in the garage doesn't make it right. But it's also like, it wasn't meant for him, but that doesn't make it right to do a year ago.
Right. You know, but then
and
then
back in a less sensitive time, I'm sure everybody got a round of chuckles out of it. We got a noose in our garage.
Yeah. Ha 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 ha. We're all white. You know, so that's happening. You know, life's terrible. But in positive news, I have finally finished Criminal Minds.
Holy shit.
I've watched all 15 seasons of Criminal Minds, and I can safely say that I enjoyed watching the show. As a whole, it was a very enjoyable experience. I think that there was a bunch of missed opportunities for like cool ways that the show could have gone, and it just didn't. And it's a terrible ending.
15 seasons, I just pulled it up, 324 episodes, and that's an hour-long drama, right?
Correct. Wow. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of math to do, so that's a lot of time you spent. And you're saying there was missed opportunity somehow in there.
Yeah, so like at one point, the show does a good job because, you know, it's this group of FBI agents that hunt serial killers. And so they do a good job of the way that they show the serial killers, and like, you know, sometimes there's like a serial killer and that serial killer is crazy and he sees things and you see what he sees, right? And so you'll follow him the whole episode, and he has these like couple of people that follow him around telling him to kill people and stuff. right. You know, and he, you know, so you watch that unfold. And then other times, you know, this guy's kidnapping and torturing people and you never see him. So they switch up the formula a lot, which is really nice. But one of the big things, like in the later seasons, there's like a prison break and a lot of serial killers that they had already caught escape. And it's like, oh, that would be really cool to watch. That'd be really cool to watch. Like watching this group of watching a group of people re-hunt these serial killers, now knowing that these people know who they are and stuff. So it would have been cool, but they never like did that.
I mean, that they could have. So basically they could have rebooted their series with a prison break.
Yeah.
So have you watched, I just scrolled down a little bit on their Wikipedia page. Have you watched the two spinoffs, Criminal Minds Suspect Behavior and Criminal Minds Beyond Borders?
They're both garbage, and I watched one episode of each one of them.
Like, did you also know there is a Criminal Minds video game?
I did not know there was a Criminal Minds video game, but I am not going to play that.
Okay. You don't want to live Twitch that one?
No, I don't want to live Twitch that one. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
There's a lot to digest there. All right. Well, that's you got that done.
Yep, I got that done. Okay. Still working on the Disney Princess film series.
Where are we?
I don't know if it was like, I think we just released The Little Mermaid, and then I did Beauty and the Beast as well.
That's up next, huh?
So that one's out, and then the next one is that'll be releasing, Friday. So sure. July 3rd. Right. Mm-hmm. Whenever that is in the past, in the future, who knows?
Whenever you're listening.
Yeah. Whenever you're listening, it was July 3rd. That'll be Aladdin. Aladdin is the next one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Aladdin. It'll be interesting because that's the first one where the princess is not the protagonist of the film, like the main protagonist of the film, mm-hmm. You know, because in Snow White and in Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, even Sleeping Beauty, all of those, they're the main protagonist of their story. Aladdin is about Aladdin. And then Princess Jasmine is, you know, while a protagonist of the film, not the main protagonist of the film. So it'll be interesting to see.
It's still a little damsel-y in distress type. Not like, quite as much as the others, but...
Yeah, like, it'll be interesting. Even Belle, like, that's such a weird movie. Like, you know, you see the live-action one, and they do a lot better at, like, showing the two of them fall in love in, like, the live-action version. And so it, like, makes sense that these two people had this connection.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to like in this animated one, it's just like, oh yeah, this girl has Stockholm syndrome.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's talking to plates and she's falling in love with a dog.
Yeah, she's like, at some point she's just like, I'm in love with this bear dog. Like, it's weird, you know, because you know it's funny when you look at movies like that and it's like, you know, her dad gets thrown out of the castle. They switch places and she's going to be the prisoner and the dad's going to go away, right. And he gets back to town. He like gets back to town and she's already fallen in love with the Beast. And it's like, what has happened? Like 2 days? Has 2 days passed since
and,
you?
And if the movie we're about to review, Armageddon, has taught us anything, the father is supposed to fall on his sword, not the other way around.
Yeah, right. 100%.
You can learn something from Harry Stamper. What was his name?
Yeah, Harry Stamper, I think.
No. The dad in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh,
I was scolding
him. Crazy old Maurice.
That is right. Old Maurice could have taken a note from Harry Stamper.
Yeah, he should have. Should have.
Just not the bleach blonde tips there, Bruce.
Yeah. Oh, what a movie. What a movie.
Oh, we will get to it. But something we're going to be introducing in the next 30 episodes of this show. So strap in, folks, and make sure you come back every single week. Because over the last month, Eddie and I both participated in hashtag 30 day film challenge. Saw it first on yours. I saw it for about a week and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it.
Yeah. Right.
And I did it for 30 days. So we're going to go down for the next 30 episodes of this show and break down briefly why we made the choices we made.
Right.
So I'm going to defer to you. Since you started it, you can start us off with day one.
Yeah. So day one is the first film you remember watching. Looking at this one, I chose the first film I remember watching in movie theaters.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, just because, like, It's weird because I remember watching movies prior to that, but I can't remember the first one. But I do remember the first movie that I saw in the movie theaters, and that was Disney's The Lion King.
Okay.
You know, and it's weird because, like I said, it's a contradictory because I had already seen Star Wars at that point. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I remember being very conflicted about Mufasa. I remember because of the voice, and I was just like, you're the bad guy, but you're also the dad, and I'm very sad that you died.
Yeah, I mean, I took it as the first movie you remember seeing in theaters as well, just because, I mean, I remember seeing a lot of movies as a kid. I mean, Star Wars was another one. It was on TV all the time when I was a kid. I don't remember an actual age range that I was in. I remember seeing Mary Poppins a lot, but I watched that a lot at home. I remember seeing Grease at home a lot. You know, but I didn't. The one that always stuck out over the years when people ask what was the first movie you saw in theaters was Bambi. I mean, it was obviously a reissue in the probably early mid 80s because Bambi was what, 1940 something, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That was one I remember. I don't know if I remember seeing it or I just remember being told enough that I saw it that it's like I've kind of painted the memory in my brain type of thing. I remember vividly seeing Spaceballs in theaters. Like I remember as a kid seeing it, laughing my ass off at Spaceballs in the theater as a kid. But I also remember being told that I had seen Bambi in the theaters. And I think I've just mentally, because I know the movie, kind of put myself in that way. It's not actual memories. It's kind of like
like the Mandela effect almost.
It's basically like if you get videotaped when you're blackout drunk and you watch the tape enough times, you pretend like you remember it.
Yeah, thing.
You know, it's like you have no memory of that, but you've seen yourself make an ass of yourself enough times that it's like, oh, I definitely remember that. That memory is in my head now. It's like, well. Yeah, but you're seeing it almost like a dream, like a third person type of thing.
Right, yeah.
That like, I remember Spaceballs, but I know I've been told it was Bambi.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Well, that's day one of our 30-day film challenge. So each episode for the next 30, we will be running down our choices. Technically, I got 29 because I took one of those. It was the Blackout Tuesday that it came on.
Oh, yeah.
It also fell on the depression movie that I didn't fucking feel like dealing with that. I literally read day 14 and I was like, why would you put that in there? Fuck you. Yeah, I'm not participating in that game.
Yeah, which one's day 14? I gotta pull it up.
Which movie makes you depressed?
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that. It's bad enough that later we're gonna talk about Uncut Gems in the Serbian film. I'm not doing a depression movie.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so God. You have those to look forward to, kids.
Yes.
All right. Armageddon time?
Yes, Armageddon time.
Life is short.
I love you.
Love is forever.
Will you marry me?
Gracie grew up to become a full-blown hottie.
You're talking about my little girl, all right?
But you never know what the future holds. Until it hits.
It's a meteor shower.
This new one you're tracking. How big?
It's what we call a global killer. Nothing would survive, not even bacteria.
The United States government just asked us to save the world. Anybody want to say no?
You think we'll get hazard pay out of this?
They'll do it. They've made a few requests, though.
Such as?
Oscar here has got some outstanding parking tickets. Max would like you to bring back 8-track tapes. Not sure if that's gonna work. Yeah, one more thing. None of them wanna pay taxes again. Ever.
United States astronauts train for years. You have 12 days.
You stick that in me, I'm gonna stab you in the heart with it.
On July 1st.
Tell me you've never let anybody down before.
I never quit yet. How's that?
Earth's darkest day.
How you feeling?
Good.
Considering I've never been this scared in my entire life.
Will be man's finest hour.
I'm marrying you.
You bet you are.
Bruce Willis. Billy Bob Thornton. Liv Tyler. Ben Affleck. Will Patton. Steve Buscemi.
Whoa, this is so much fun, it's freaky.
All the time in the world.
We have 18 minutes to zero barrier.
Is all they've got.
We all gotta die, right? I'm the guy who gets to do it saving the world.
Yeah! Do you think I'm gonna quit? We never quit!
Armageddon. A Jerry Bruckheimer production, directed by Michael Bay.
Okay, Armageddon was released July 1st, 1998. Big summer release. It had a budget of $140 million, which, God, looking back at some of those 90s action movies, they were made for nothing compared to today's prices.
Oh, yeah.
And it made $553.7 million at the box office. Again, today that would be an easy billion-dollar movie.
100%. And it has a killer soundtrack.
It does. I mean, it's basically an Aerosmith greatest hits with a new song.
It is.
Plain and simple. I mean, there was. Yes. I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, they got Sweet Emotions in this, too?
Oh, they got so much in there. It's nuts.
It was written by five fucking people.
Yeah,
no, four. Yeah, there's four or five writers on it. One of them is actually J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't know that until this watch. I was watching the credits. I'm like, oh, no shit. Okay.
Oh, that's fun.
Directed by Michael Bay, of course, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. And it stars Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, Ben Affleck, Liv Tyler, Will Patton, Keith David, Steve Buscemi, Michael Clark Duncan,
Owen Wilson,
a bunch of that guys.
There's
a ton of that guys in it. And this is a movie. This was definitely it was a natural disaster era. Because this came out, I believe, shortly after Deep Impact.
It was a race to
theaters, basically, between these two.
Yeah, I remember them being very, very similar because they were both the Meteor movies, right? They had both of the Meteor movies, and Deep Impact was the one where Morgan Freeman's the president and the Meteor's going to hit, and they don't have the ability to send somebody up, or at least they
didn't have Harry Stamper and his crew.
Yeah, they didn't have the brilliant idea to teach a bunch of, you know, hooligan drillers to
criminals.
Just to be astronauts, you know what I mean? Instead of teaching astronauts to drill because Bruce Willis, you know, made a sales pitch. But yeah, you know, there were parts of that movie where, you know, Deep Impact, because the Meteor hits in that one, right?
Put it this way. It was a race to the theaters. Deep Impact got there first, but Armageddon is the one we remember.
Yes.
You know why? Because even though
Aerosmith
and Die Hard, you got the guy from Die Hard to save the world again. That's all that counts. Deep Impact is gone. It's been basically recorded that Deep Impact was the more scientifically accurate movie. But this is summer action, man. We don't give a shit about science. I want Rock Hound up there with a fucking machine gun.
Yeah. Look, why? Like, I understand the gun in the safe. Like, that one makes sense.
That one
to me.
I don't understand, actually.
Oh, well, because that guy was always supposed to double cross, which again is stupid. But again, we'll get there.
You understand it story wise.
I understand why that gun was in that safe. The one
for
I don't understand.
For reality, because in reality, that makes no fucking sense.
Oh,
you shoot a gun in a spaceship, you're all dead.
Yeah, look, I guess story wise, because the one I don't understand. fictional characters. The one I don't understand is, why did you put a Gatling gun on the dune buggy?
Especially when Harry and the crew get there and they start modifying the armadillos, they're tossing all the unnecessary bullshit out, yet somehow the Gatling gun, that made the cut.
Yeah,
we can't have any of this science bullshit. All these plastic tubing's got to go. Gatling gun? I don't know. It might come in handy. Especially if Ben Affleck has to blow a hole in a door to get out.
Right. I mean, it's used. It's just like, what was the practical thing? Were you thinking that you were going to fight the aliens from Independence Day? Did you think that they were on top of this? Is that what happened?
Were you afraid the meteor was going to tough talk you and you were going to have to pull your gun?
Yeah. Like, what?
It's a meteor. A 9mm won't work. You can't just lift your waistband up and say, we got a problem. You got to pull the big gun out.
Yeah, right. It's just like, what? So if
like, don't be a menace. Do we have a problem? USSR.
Yeah, right. Yep. But it's like, what are you talking about? Like, so on the one hand, the meteor is so dense that we have to use a professional drilling team to drill into the core to make it happen. But on the other hand, we put the gun there just in case we have to shoot debris away.
I'm sure that's actually more logical than the movie gave us.
Right. Well, there's a lot of like, you know, oh, hey, why do we need to do this? Yeah, we need to do this because of the thing over there. like, okay.
Yes, this movie like, yada yada a lot.
Like the big one is, you know, the very unnecessary action sequence that is the Russian space station. But it's just like gravity decides like when and how it wants to work. Because it's like part of the space station breaks off and instead of, you know, existing in nothingness and it just floating kind of like away from it, it's falling at them on fire. And it's just like, first of all, that none of that makes sense. There's no oxygen. How does the fire work? Like,
it was a lot of fire for a place with no oxygen.
Yeah, there was so much oxygen for a place with no fire.
You know what happened? Someone actually said that to Michael Bay and got slapped in the teeth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you know who the fuck I am? There is going to be fire. The cover, the poster is fire.
Yeah. I'm Michael goddamn Bay.
And we are going to have Bruce Willis jump away from a fire at least 3 times. Have you seen Die Hard? We got Die Hard for a reason.
Yeah, we just need to recreate that. I need 2 things. I need Bruce Willis to walk away from fire. Walk away from fire. By jumping, and I need Bruce Willis to walk away in slow motion while Aerosmith plays. Those are the absolutely. 2 things I need.
The funniest part was it was right in the beginning. Not the beginning, because we'll get to it, because I completely forgot the opening of this movie.
The opening of this movie is bananas and also makes no sense like a half hour in.
No. Yeah, exactly. And we'll cover it. But I remember when I was just watching it, and it's when they're on the oil rig and they strike oil.
Yeah.
And everything starts going apeshit. And there's a scene and it's a close up of Bruce Willis doing the Die Hard jump with the arms flailing in slow motion at the camera. I literally just go, that's why he was hired to do that. Like, yeah, okay. He's functional as the lead in this movie, but that's why you hired him, because you saw Die Hard. You saw him jump off the roof. It was the same fucking jump. Yeah. But actually, what happened was, just a quick little bit of trivia behind the Bruce Willis being part of this movie. So Bruce Willis at the time was making a comedy. It was called Broadway Brawler, but it went so far over budget, it just couldn't be salvaged. And he was producing it and all that stuff. Okay. Disney came in. At the time, the head of the company was Joe Roth, and basically absorbed the full debt of that movie, Broadway Brawler, in exchange for Bruce Willis doing Armageddon and 2 other movies to be named later.
Okay.
Because it was made by Disney, those movies became The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable. So we have the now the M. Night Shyamalan movies and Bruce Willis in those,
right,
including this last one, Split, because of Armageddon and a shitty comedy that he was trying to produce.
Yeah, and did it ever get released?
Oh no, it never even got finished filming. Like they had to halt filming because it was so blown over budget.
Wow,
so it never even got finished. They just absorbed the debt, basically.
Yeah.
They didn't even, it wasn't like they bought a film. They bought like reels of film that probably got burned and fucking absorbed the debt.
Took tax, they were like, look, we need you to be in this asteroid movie because look, I'll take the like $100,000, you know,
I get it. This is your passion project. I heard the Bruno album, man. I know you like this type of stuff, but we got Die Hard on a fucking moon.
Yeah, we got Die Hard. We got Die Hard on an asteroid. Let's go.
Picture this. Die Hard in space.
Yeah. It's really like, I'm funny. Good,
but I don't want to play John McClane again. Okay. We'll bleach your hair blonde. cool.
Different. You can be an oil rig worker. What if you're Hudson Hawk? Would that make this better?
You're space's best cat burglar.
Yeah.
You got to sneak onto the asteroid and sing jazzy songs.
Yeah. You know, there's one musical number in this. There's one actual live musical number, and he doesn't partake in the singing.
That's true. I think he was probably pretty pissed about that. He was hoping one of his Bruno songs got on the soundtrack.
Yeah, probably.
At the very least, how could it not have been played at his daughter's wedding in the mid-credits scene, shot on 8mm for some fucking reason?
Yeah.
Who in 1998 was using 8mm? Come on.
Assholes.
That's asshole true. Oil workers had 8mm cameras. Yeah. Because they were exposing film.
Yeah, right. Not, you know, those camcorders that just had the VHS that you shoved into it.
Yes.
You know?
All right, let's get going. So this movie starts out, and I completely forgot how it started out. But it starts off, I mean, it's a Michael Bay movie. We got action from the jump. We got tension from the jump. We got some scared as shit astronaut who's trying to, I don't know, plug something in or take something out. He's doing something. It doesn't really matter what he's doing.
Yeah,
what matters is
he gets torn to shreds.
Up. Yes.
Gets torn to shred by asteroids, which is weird because, again, a very common theme in this movie is none of it makes sense. So, like, do you know that that asteroid is there, and that's why you like need to like?
No, that is explained. That part is explained very quickly. They didn't know the asteroid was there, and it's asked. The president asked Billy Bob Thornton why they didn't know about an asteroid the size of Texas.
Yeah,
and he says, "Well, the budget of our whatever the fuck. Basically, the budget was $1 million, and $1 million only covers 3% of the sky and." With all due respect, sir, it's a big ass guy.
Yeah, it's a big sky. That was pretty funny.
I loved Billy Bob in this movie.
He was great.
Billy Bob was one of those guys that it's like every time you see him in real life in interviews, it's like, what a douchebag. But man, is he a great actor.
Oh yeah, he's fantastic.
And he is the most relatable character in the entire movie.
Yeah, 100%.
All this science nonsense and math, and it's just like, look. We know the audience we're playing to. You could say it's 97 miles by 2.2. He's like, it's the size of fucking Texas, sir.
Yeah, right. Right. That's the thing is, like, this movie definitely dumbs down everything.
It knows its audience. It knows what it's going for. It's a summer action blockbuster. We don't need facts and science. Right. Just get to the fucking.
But again, $553 million and nobody remembers Deep Impact.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Science is bullshit.
Yeah, science is bullshit.
Look, if the quarantine has taught us anything, science is bullshit.
Yeah, right. Well, no, science, even though it's supposed to be like proven fact, can still be debatable because, you know, God.
Because Facebook.
Yeah, because, you know, I can't breathe behind a mask because, like, I have allergies or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, doctors wear it for 18 hours while they're, like, saving your life. You know. Facebook. Facebook. So then
I'm
we end up on the
trouble.
Yeah, I know, I'm trying real hard. So we're on the oil rig and we're introduced to the oil rig crew. And this is the first
right off the bat, we get ZZ Top.
Yeah.
And you know what that means. These guys are shenanigan filled hooligans.
Yeah, they're a bunch of hooligans. They're a bunch of assholes, you know. And Bruce Willis is the crew of this ragtag group of the best oil rig drillers in the world. And it's like, sure, cool, guys. He's pissed at them because they have this like father-son dynamic, which is like kind of sort of explained.
With AJ Frost.
Yeah.
Played by Ben Affleck and his brand new teeth.
Who is Ben Affleck in this movie is the most of that late 90s, early 2000s Ben Affleck that I could have ever seen.
I mean, he was basically right off of Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
He had just won the Oscar probably when this was being filmed.
Probably.
And he would have had to have been, right? It's like right around that. I mean, he's got new teeth, so it was definitely after Chasing Amy.
Right.
So, but he did that like right after Good Will Hunting.
Okay.
Or before, somewhere around. He won the Oscar. Yeah, whatever the fuck. He's got new teeth.
But yeah, it's just like he was definitely not as good of an actor as he later becomes. Mm-hmm. Like, he's far better now than he was. And fight me, internet, he's the best Batman.
Well, he's definitely the best Bruce Wayne.
Yes,
definitely the best Bruce Wayne. Yeah, he was definitely this era. Ben Affleck was definitely more confidence than talent.
Yeah,
like he really liked himself.
Yes, 100%, and it definitely shows.
I'm not going to go too deep into it, but just to know how much Ben Affleck was feeling himself in this era, go Google the Armageddon premiere party photos. They're online, and wow, he is real drunk and real grabby.
I bet. But yeah, he sleeps with Liv Tyler. It was a different time.
We could do that shit.
Yeah, it was a different time. There, people didn't have cameras in their pockets. That's really it, man. It's been going on forever. We just have high definition cameras in our pockets. We're
reporters, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody, TMZ wasn't going to pay you $5,000 for that picture. Oh. Now they will.
Oh, shit.
So he's sleeping with Liv Tyler, and Bruce Willis, as a logical, sane person, just attacks him with a shotgun. He's just chasing him around the oil rig with the shotgun because it's his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you do. And so, like, they end up, like, having the clients come in, and you kind of get a little bit of the interpersonal dynamic of, you know, how the crew works and, like, you know, the hierarchy a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but the big thing is that they end up striking oil after Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck have, like, a tussle because of, like, they were supposed to shut something down. He didn't listen.
Yeah, it basically sets up Ben Affleck as the young hot dogger who goes by his gut, and Bruce Willis has a successful career because he knows what he's fucking doing. So when he says shut it down, you shut it down. Ben Affleck didn't. All of a sudden, again, more bravado than anything else. He's like, I told you my shit always works. And he's like, you could have got all of us fucking killed. You're fired.
Yeah, you're fired. So he fires him. And then the military shows up because, again, logic is out the window.
Well, we jumped over. Just want a quick reference that right after the astronaut gets blown out of space, New York gets destroyed.
Oh, yeah. And Eddie Griffin's dog.
Eddie Griffin is in there. And then also the hanging with Mr. Cooper guy plays a cab driver in a highly offensive scene.
Oh, highly offensive.
But it was like, yeah, it's one of those weird things that you watch these movies. And again, you have to remember, this was set in 1998.
Yeah.
It has to be pointed out that scene in New York ends with a shot of the burning Twin Towers.
Yeah, it does.
I forgot the opening of this movie. I thought this movie started in the oil rig thing. I completely spaced on the whole opening of this movie because I haven't watched it in probably 10 years. And I'm just like, ooh. Creepy. It's not like they were, because again, this was years before 9/11, so it was like, it wasn't like they were referencing fucking anything. It was just, it's a New York landmark.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a New York landmark being destroyed.
The asteroid was only attacking landmarks. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's the Chrysler Building, Empire State Building, and the Chrysler Building both came down, and the Twin Towers got hit. It's like, okay, you know, it's kind of like Independence Day. The aliens only attack our landmarks.
Yeah, right.
Because they know what those mean.
Yeah, they know
the White House is a thing.
Yeah, they know because out of all of our things, the most assuming building of our
most
isn't even
the biggest house in the country. What are we doing?
They would have
bombed Tom Brady's house.
Yeah, or the Kardashians.
Yes. Google Earth works, and they can see that's not the biggest land we can hit.
Yeah, but
it is what it is. But also, before we go on, how are you watching this?
I watched this on HBO Max.
Okay. I had my Criterion DVD. As we mentioned on the last show, yes, this was the Criterion Collection. Yeah. It's kind of a shame that they haven't put this back out on the Criterion Collection, only because it's the only time that the actual director's cut of this movie has been released.
Okay.
Was on this. It was the last Laserdisc the Criterion Collection ever released. I have it on DVD, not Laserdisc. But yeah, and it also might be the worst movie the Criterion Collection's ever put out.
Yeah.
I mean, the Criterion Collection, it has hits, it has misses, but mostly it's more higher art, for lack of a better term.
Right.
But I think also, and we mentioned at the end of our Broken Hour episode, I think they had kind of a quiet deal with Disney at the time, because it was this and The Rock and Chasing Amy was a Criterion one, and there was a lot of Miramax movies coming out, or Touchstone and Miramax movies, which were all Disney. At the time, but Yeah, it's the only time that the director's cut has been available. And not that it added anything huge, but there was Harry. I don't know, even know if it was included in the theatrical cut, but at the end when Harry's doing the Skype message to Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
And he says, I saw your grandfather and he told me about roses in December. Was that in there?
No.
Okay. Well, in mind that's there, he tells her about roses in December and she's given him a garden. The reason we have children is they give us roses in December, something like that. Yeah, well, there's a whole scene when the guys are given their 10 hours to go nuts before their launch. Right. Harry goes and visits his dad, and his dad was played by Lawrence Tierney, of course, of Reservoir Dogs and many, many, many other movies. And it's a quick, fun little thing. But it was one of those ones that's like, oh, I forgot Lawrence Tierney was in this. And it was like, I'm guessing it had to be his last roles because
probably
I believe he died shortly after that. But yeah, so that's how I watched it on the DVD, which also is fun that it includes a couple commentary tracks, including one with Ben Affleck and Michael Bay, which I think you and Ben Affleck will get along because you both have the same points about this movie. He literally says on the commentary track, so why didn't you just train the astronauts to drill a hole instead of trying to train us to?
Right.
And Michael Bay stops him and just goes, shut the fuck up.
Right. Well, it's the biggest, dumbest part of this movie is like you have.
But that happens for 2 hours. Ben just fucks with him on the commentary track for 2 hours.
Now I got to watch it.
It's one of the funniest commentary tracks that's ever been produced. And I'm sad that that's a bygone thing now. People don't do those anymore.
The most insane part, there are so many insane parts of this movie, but again, it's a Michael Bay movie, so I have to just kind of roll with the insanity because it's like, all right, so let's get over the fact that they're like, all right, we need to have, we need to find the best deep sea drillers in the world. Yeah. And it's just like, everybody keeps talking about Bruce Willis. And it's just like, first of all, if somebody was to ask me who the best roof guy I know is, I don't have an answer. And I need a roof, or I have a roof. You know what I mean?
The funny thing is the way, and it's said very quickly, again, over narration, there's a lot of yada yada in this movie. But it's Billy Bob's voiceover as the helicopter is approaching Harry's oil rig or whatever that thing is in the middle of this China Sea. And he says, we've been searching for all the best deep drillers. And all of them point to this guy. My problem is, like, these the drilling companies, they compete with each other for the highest bid, et cetera, et cetera. So if NASA, the government, comes to you and says, hey, we're looking for oil, first of all, why are they, like, isn't this a hush-hush confidential thing? Why are they going just kind of searching for people, first of all? Like, they sure know this. But if they went to the first oil rigger and said, who's the best guy that drills?
I am.
Fucking me. I could do it. What did he say? He's a fucking liar.
Yeah, right.
Stamper's a liar. He hits golf balls at protesters.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, so that's nonsense. But then, like, the military comes and picks up Bruce Willis and
I hear his whole crew's a bunch of perverts and criminals, so fuck him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that would have definitely been noticed. But they take him away. They take him away, and everybody else is just on the oil rig working still. And so Bruce Willis gets briefed on what's happening. And, you know, again, he tells NASA, like, there's no way that you got, like, they show him his drill rig. They show him his drill rig. And he's just like, you fucked up the design. And this is wrong. And that's wrong. And this is wrong. You know, and instead of just like fixing it and sending those astronauts up to space, he's just like, you wouldn't be able to do it. Only we could do it. And then, like, we need to round up my team. And then it's a montage of the FBI arresting people, and it's just like,
it was kind of one of the best montages of team roundups we've had in a while. Because these days, it's all done with graphics and title cards. Like Suicide Squad was the first thing I thought of,
right,
where it's like it's a freeze frame on the character, and then just their stats listed.
Yeah,
like,
it's the guy.
This was so much better. I would so much rather see Michael Clark Duncan on a big chopper riding in the middle of the desert with cops chasing him than if you just splashed the screen and said Bear and all of his criminal record.
Yeah,
you know? You're Owen Wilson riding on a horse. That's so much better.
So much better. But again, weren't these assholes on an oil rig? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, but apparently once the job is done, and that was kind of it, they struck oil. I don't know enough about oil drilling, but I think when you struck oil, the driller's job at least is done, right?
I would imagine.
So once they're done, they scatter. You know, Chick goes to Vegas, yeah, and Owen Wilson goes to his farm, and again, Papa Bear starts riding his Harley. It's
again the timing in this movie just doesn't make sense, because it's if you only had 18 days, how did these assholes get everywhere they needed to go to then get rounded up to then get brought to NASA? You know what I mean? It's just like,
we got 18 days. It took us 7 to round all these guys up.
Yeah, it took us 7 to round us up, and it took another 4 to figure out how to, you know, teach them how to be astronauts.
I think they were basically looking at, as far as time and space, I believe they were giving them like 3 or 4 days tops. Yeah. Because they're like, when they finally got there, they pointed to the clock, and I think it was around 16 days, which means it took them 2 days to round everybody up. Right. And they're like, we got 16 days, so we got like, I think he said like 12 days to train you guys or something like that, which means they're going to give him like 4 days to blow up a thing. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That alone is like, I don't know. Somebody else should do this, because what if some of them just don't get it?
Right. Well, you know, you end up seeing what like a lot of the problems.
Just learning the thrusters on the spacesuit would take me a month.
Oh, 100%. But it's just like, again, it would have made so much more sense to teach the astronauts how to use the drill. Then it's just because, movie. Yeah, it's not a fun movie.
There's no cheap shenanigans with those guys.
Yeah, no, Steve Buscemi's not involved.
Exactly.
But it's
you don't get some pervert who takes out $100,000 loan from a loan shark the night before.
Yeah, because he thinks he's going to die.
Although,
which is,
again, that side of the character was very relatable. The weird, every girl he's dating seems to be underage type.
Yeah, he's not sure. He's not, how old are you? He's
bringing it up. Like when the government shows up to take Harry away, he pops in and goes, "I swear she didn't tell me how old she was." It's like, why are you a character? Yeah.
Are you talking about Liv Tyler or a different person? Like, it's weird. But it's like, yeah, it wouldn't have made more sense to just teach the guys how to make the rocket and then send them up with 16 days to drill through the asteroid, as opposed to like, yeah, we need the best team, but they only got 4 days to do it.
I guess that's why they needed the best team, because shit, man, we got no time, because we're gonna have to train these assholes, and that's gonna take 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we have 2 weeks, 2 days.
Yeah. My favorite thing was their list of demands. Their list of demands as to like what they wanted. Yeah. And it was so funny. Oh, and none of them want to pay taxes again.
Yes, exactly.
We don't want to pay taxes again. It's like, okay, deal. Done deal. You don't got to pay taxes anymore if you save the world.
There was a guy in the crew. I'm trying to look down the crew right now. There was one who's like it was a crew of like known actors, then a couple of that guys. Right. But there was one. Is it Noonan? He was the one that had the two lady friends that needed to become American citizens.
Okay, yeah.
He was like, yeah, okay, that's him. The actor's name is Clark Heathcliff. Clark Heathcliff Broly, actually. Oh, he's a three-namer. And he's like the only guy in this movie. I had no fucking idea who he was.
Yeah.
Like at first I thought he was that guy from Reno 911 who was the one of the cops in Reno 911, but it wasn't him. But it's like in a sea of like known faces, it was weird to just have this random guy in there, and he died like first, and there was no emotional impact.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when all shit starts jumping off and Owen Wilson dies, Ben Affleck has a huge scene where it's like he's holding his dead head and it's like, oh my God, help me. But Noonan just kind of vanished.
Yeah.
Look, we get it. Out. Nobody was attached to this character. He's not even as popular as the Russian who was also in Big Lebowski, so everybody loves him.
Yeah, right.
And, well, he's also in, like, every Michael Bay movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he plays a version of this character, basically. He was, I think he was Russian in Bad Boys 2 as well.
Yeah, probably.
He was Russian. He was the one they chopped up and put in the tortilla bin.
Yeah, that's right. That is right.
When they chop his friend up, and he, I don't know. He's in the movie.
Again, yeah. So they, after some shenanigans of like, you know, comedy, because this movie is way longer than I remembered.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is over 2 hours long, which it definitely doesn't need to be.
but it is.
Mine is longer.
Yeah, because I mean, it takes them like an hour and a half to get to the asteroid.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, Michael, seriously, Bay, I love you, but did we need to have the space station blow up for no fucking reason?
Yes.
You know, like, it wasn't even like they get up to the space station and it's not like the asteroid like hit the space station, like some of the debris like
that was also them, like, again, there's little hints of reality that are masked by big explosions. And yeah, if you have a bunch of untrained assholes that are sent into space after a week's notice and you dock at some Russian space station to fill up for gas or whatever the fuck,
yeah,
and you grab and the cosmonaut up there is as manic as anything, and he grabs Ben Affleck and tries to explain what he's supposed to do if shit goes down, and he explains it in 12 seconds in Russian. Yes, of course the place is going to blow up. Like, this is not going to end well.
Right. And it's just like, look, we could have, like, I didn't need this harrowing escape from this space station for some reason. Like, well, why?
It's blown up in about 10 minutes, so we need.
Yeah. It's like we just needed something to blow up. Michael, seriously, baby, I love you. But we didn't need to blow up. We didn't. Michael, Bubby, I didn't need you to blow up the space station. The budget could have been $120 million if you didn't blow up the space station for no reason.
But also, we wouldn't have had the Russian astronaut on for the rest of this story.
Yeah,
and, right. And he, again, provides comic relief and kind of saves the day in the end.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
I mean, look, we've all had an old VCR, and when the VCR didn't work, what did you do? You beat on it. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. See, it works now. That's basically how he got the spaceship working.
It's true.
And again, it was 98, different time, but he kind of mansplained the whole thing. He pushed the woman out of the way, says, I'll show you how to do this, and beats on the thing with a wrench until it starts working.
Yeah.
She's sitting there reading instructions, trying to actually be scientific about it. He's like, no, woman, step aside.
Which is
a wrench.
Microcosm for this movie, where it's just like, science, ah, get the fuck out of the way. The Bay needs to blow shit up. Because, like,
you're just delaying our next explosion. Move, woman.
Move. I need you to be out of my way. The Bay needs to blow shit up.
The Bay.
And so they take off. I don't even know if they got the gas. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
They did say one of them got 90% fuel. I think the other one blew up anyway, so we give a shit.
Yeah. Did the other one get fuel? Yeah, it totally did the thing. Yeah. Because like the first, like they end up on the approach, yeah, for the asteroid, and it's like, okay, so you're flying in and then shit just starts exploding. Like, immediately they end up taking damage. I forget which one, the Freedom or the Independence.
Yeah,
one of them.
The one with Ben Affleck
goes into it, and it's just like, people get sucked out of a window. Like, again,
for as goofy ass as this movie is, the moments of intensity were very well done.
Oh yeah,
like those last few moments with the pilot and the co-pilot in that ship were very well done
Well
filmed, and they did build those moments of tension very well.
So
it's covered by silliness.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will about the Bay, but it's the exact same thing. I might even put him in the exact same category as Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino is an amazing B-movie director, right? He is a B-movie director that has all-time A directing talent, yeah, right? Michael Bay is the exact same thing. Where he wants to do this film with Charlton Heston. And
he did?
Yeah.
The opening narration was Charlton Heston.
Oh, yes, 100%. But like,
We wanted to show the dinosaurs. Instead, we bought Charlton Heston for a day and had him tell you about the dinosaurs.
Yeah, he told you about the dinosaurs.
This is Spaceship Earth. Now get your hands off me, you damn dirty apes.
You know what I mean? That's what happens.
55 million years ago.
Yeah.
After my gold dead hands.
Oh, did we skip over their day off, by the way?
Oh, yeah, we did.
I only want to point out that, holy shit, the Ben Affleck Liv Tyler scene with the animal crackers. Oh. I'm not going to even comment on that, on the goofiness of the animal crackers. That was a BMW ad.
Yes, it was.
They just literally had a, like, one of those plates on the front. It wasn't a license plate. It was like a BMW commercial plate. It was like yeah, the BMW dealer.
It just was the logo.
It was a logo. And I'm watching it, and Aerosmith is playing that the new song. It's very, the sun is setting beautifully. They're some fucking farm. Like, where are these where they all went to is beyond me. It looks like half of them went to New Orleans for no good reason.
10 hours.
10 hours. But it's like, come on, man, make those 10 hours count. Don't spend it half the time traveling. But yeah, they're on some farm and it's sunset and they're both half naked and they're wrapped up and they're both beautiful people in the prime of their looks and Aerosmith, and all I hear in my head is BMW.
Do you want to get laid like Ben Affleck?
BMW.
The new A3 BMW. Yeah, brought to you by Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And sex.
And the Bay then later takes this and just makes it again in Transformers, but with a Camaro.
What are we supposed to do? I mean, Michael Bay was a commercial director before.
Oh, yeah. Got Milk?
Yeah. That was him.
Got Milk. That was him.
I wish we were joking, but there's no joke there. That's what he did before Bad Boys, and then he made Bad Boys and started blowing shit up.
Yeah, got Milk.
Wait a minute.
Got
the Milk. People are going to pay me to blow stuff up?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Like, I've always wanted to blow stuff up.
Like, he must have been so pissed when everything started becoming computer generated, because there's a lot of practical explosions in these movies.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, I'm watching that opening scene and I'm like, oh, so they just recreated a street in New York and blew shit up for a day.
Yep. Yeah, it's bananas how much he likes to blow shit up, and it's great.
I said 14 cars. That's 8.
Yeah. Well, it's like there's still the story of that Terminator film where he was going to set the world record for the largest cinematic explosion of all time, and he miscalculated how big the explosion was going to be, and it blew up all of the cameras. So the only shot of the explosion that they have is like a helicopter shot. And it doesn't look impressive because it's from like 1,000 feet in the air.
But was it? Did he actually make what is the largest cinematic explosion?
Oh, I don't know. It's in one of the Terminator movies. I mean, not Transformers.
How do you calculate that?
Oh, I don't know. There's some nerd with a book that shows up. They go to a lot of those dictator countries because, like, having the largest sheet cake in the world is important to them.
Oh, well, facts. Fuck it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Let's get back to blowing shit up in space.
Yeah. Ben Affleck has just crashed on the moon, but not the moon. It's an asteroid. But I also love that they're just like, you know what we don't want to pay for? We don't want to pay to have everybody float. So we're just going to come up with a bunch of yada yada reasons as to why everybody just is able to walk around.
Yeah. That was their thrusters that they in their training when the female astronaut there was teaching them, and everybody's commenting on how hot she is. And she goes up to Bear and is like, if I kick you in the balls, what happens? I'll float away. He's like, yes. So now you need to pay attention to these thrusters so you don't float away. And of course, Steve Buscemi has to comment on the ball kicking because, you know, he's the pervert in the group. Waka waka.
Yeah. Right.
But apparently thrusters are a thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Again,
moonwalking isn't real, but again, if you ask certain people on the internet, neither was the moon landing. Stanley Kubrick made it. Watch The Shining. Read a book. Fuck off.
Yeah. Room 237.
Yeah. Exactly. Love that documentary, as absurd as it is.
Yeah. So why can Ben Affleck walk on the moon? Well, you see thrusters, and they are there over there. And that's how he can walk on the asteroid.
Yeah. Perfect. Makes perfect sense. Science.
Makes sense. Makes sense, right?
Look. Look, shut up, nerd. It's the size of Texas.
But then, when they need to make that like crazy canyon jump, the physics go away. Yeah, the physics are go away. Well, how did that happen? Well, you see, it's in space, and then because there's no engine. So yeah, that's how it's able to make the epic leap of faith.
All right, so we're there. And Owen Wilson's dead.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck cries for a little bit, but he finds Bear, so that's good. He didn't die. So it's Affleck, Bear, and the Russian astronaut. They get in the armadillo and start hauling ass to the other group, who they don't really know where they are, but they're just kind of pointing it in a direction. And because Ben Affleck has been relying on his gut this entire time, he's got it. He's got it on the inside. He doesn't actually know, but he has a hunch, and his hunch is always pay off because he's handsome.
Yeah, I'm handsome, and there's a beep, and I'm going to go to the beep. That was like what he was yelling at.
Said. There's a lot of fucking yelling in this movie too. Like not an Uncut Gems level of yelling, but a lot of like yelling where there shouldn't be. It's like, hey, guy, I need to concentrate, and you're just that in my ear.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Maybe because the world is going to explode if I don't. For some odd reason, we timed this poorly, and instead of giving us the most amount of time to potentially do this, we gave ourselves the least amount of time, and we only have like 8 minutes to drill 800 feet or something.
And I so, learned how to use these thrusters yesterday.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like, holy crap, guys. Like, Jesus.
So on the other side of the rock, Sean Connery and but Bruce Willis, Steve Buscemi, the guy Max, and Chick is there, and a couple of, like, they got the real crew. Like, I don't know why the fuck the other group had such a small group.
Because everybody died. Everybody died in the other crew.
Yeah, but it was two astronauts and Owen Wilson that died. That's it.
Yeah, somebody else got sucked out.
It was Noonan, the guy nobody gave a shit about. Okay, so he's dead. Easy, that's an easy delete. So they're all trying to get shit going and drill. Meanwhile, because they landed so far off the mark, they're losing communication with Earth.
Yeah.
Which sends Earth into a panic, and Earth being the president and the obvious military bad guy, because Keith David had to play that guy, because we need the guy that's going to try to detonate the bomb prematurely. There's always that guy in the military movie who doesn't give a shit about common sense, and he's going to follow the military law, and the president said to detonate the bomb, so I'm detonating the bomb. Where's my second key? Where's my red card with a code on it? And let's get to fucking blowing shit up. Michael Bay should love those guys. And so they're drilling. They're way behind because they landed on what equates to an iron plate, which they weren't accounting for. So they're drilling a lot slower. So according to the astronaut, who's the bank manager in the opening of Dark Knight.
Yes, he is.
How I describe him, because I don't know the actor's name at the moment. But he's classic.
It's one of those that guys.
Yeah, classic that guy. Basically, they're going to miss their mark by 10 hours. Because there's like a zero point that if they don't blow it up by there,
it's going to hit the Earth no matter what.
They're going to hit the Earth anyway. They're just going to hit the Earth in two spots as opposed to one spot. So total elimination. That's happening. So he gets the secondary command from the president to detonate the nuclear warhead. It's funny. We got two nuclear warheads back to back in these movies.
Yeah.
Amazingly, they must have used the same props guy, because they look identical.
Oh, yes, they do, 100%. Or that's just how they look.
I mean, I've never seen one, but hope I never do, to be honest.
Yeah, no thank you.
I hope I'm never in a situation where I'm like, that's a nuclear warhead, kids.
Yeah, that is a nuclear warhead.
And if I learned from John Travolta, you're not supposed to shoot at it.
Yeah, don't shoot at the thermonuclear warheads.
Broken Arrow, in the archives, thatmovieshow.net. Yeah, and So shit's just jumping off on their side of things, because they're running behind schedule. They blew a tranny phrasing, and Max is dead, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know we lose him, but I think he's dead at this point.
I think so.
I think when they blew the tranny, he got shot into space with the first armadillo.
Probably.
And that's when they're trying to figure out, basically, Harry is fighting with the astronaut because the astronaut has a gun, but he's following the president's orders.
But Harry didn't know about it.
Nobody knew about it. And the whole time during the scene, I just kept laughing my ass off at Chick, because the whole time he's just sitting there as calm as a bell going, just shut it off.
Yeah.
And they're yelling, like screaming. And he's standing still going, just shut it off. Just turn it off. I mean, you got to turn this thing off, man.
That's our option.
Like, I don't want to, like, just, why aren't you shutting? And he kept going, why aren't you shutting it off? And meanwhile, he's holding a gun. Harry's got a wrench. And he's like, why aren't you shutting it off?
Yeah, shut it off. Yeah. And the conflict is resolved in like 30 seconds where they're like,
So Billy Bob's down on Earth. We get our one fuck for a PG-13 movie when he tells Keith David, this is an order you shouldn't fucking follow. Good use of it. I think it should have came a little bit earlier, been in the scene, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, so he basically sabotages the plan by talking to one of his computer guys. He's basically like, disable the uplink, which will disable
the bomb,
basically, because they're remote detonating the bomb from the computers at NASA. So, and NASA guy types a bunch of shit into a computer. Again, actually, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
And it turns off.
Right.
And the guys in the spaceship don't know what the hell's going on, because, again, they can't talk to NASA because they lost communication. which, again, makes that whole Skype conversation between Bruce Willis and Liv Tyler at the end really impossible. Lost communication a long time ago. Now you have crystal clear HD.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you can see each other. But yeah, basically, Bruce Willis persuades the commander, Sharp or whatever I think his name is.
Oh, actually, it was Sharp. Good call on that one, yeah. He persuades him by clamping his neck with a wrench, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, he's basically like, I'm going to break your neck or you're going to get on my side here.
Yeah, so he gets on his side. You know?
As you do.
So yeah, basically being like, hey, you know, I always hit my mark. And it's just like, I'm going to drill the 800 feet and I'm going to make it happen. And he's like,
Harry bottoms out.
Yeah, can you do it? And he's just like, I can do it. And then they have mutual respect and give each other fuck eyes. And then I'm pretty sure that they do it on the nuclear warhead and then get back to drilling.
Yes, Rockhound watches.
Yeah.
He gets strapped to a chair at a certain point because he goes batshit with a gun.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi's character. Yeah. He finds the other Gatling gun.
Right.
Because obviously we need two.
Yeah.
So he finds that and just starts shooting everything until they basically tackle him and basically duct tape him to a chair.
Right.
Because we have more than enough duct tape in space. There's a lot of points in this movie where it's like you're watching and be like, we don't have time for this. Like,
yeah,
this conversation just should not be happening right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because even Sharp is like, I need you to swear on your daughter and my children. And it's like, we don't have time for this. Just turn the fucking thing off.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, right. I mean, you know, I can promise you, but you don't know me. I don't know you. I never met your daughter, so I can lie and just get you to turn this thing off and then beat you with a pipe.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, basically, there's a giant race where Ben Affleck is just like, you know, going X Games mode on on the asteroid, just a straight up dune buggy, just trucking through.
Yeah, he would be an all-star on ESPN The Ocho.
Yeah, 100%. Right at the last minute, they come riding in because they, you know, they got to get the rest of the drilling done.
They're going to save the day, man.
Yeah, I believe they blow the other drill bit or the transformer.
Well, that's when Max dies. They blew the transmission.
Yeah.
And then the other transmission was on the armadillo, that Affleck was driving. And so he shows up and they start drilling again. AJ being AJ, he's just gonna be like, we're gonna power through, like basically overcompensating, over cocky, going with his gut. Harry's telling him to back off. He's not doing it. They already just watched Max die, and it's like, this is our last chance here. Calm the fuck down, kid. Again, this movie has a lot of bad messages to send to kids because Affleck doesn't back off.
No,
he continues to power through and actually hits the mark.
Yeah.
He gets through. So it's like, yeah, kids, don't listen to the rules. Don't listen to your boss. If you think you're right, go with it. Especially if you're handsome with a beautiful set of teeth.
100%. And so then basically, I think in all the Steve Buscemi stuff, the remote detonator gets destroyed.
The communication, they lose the ability
to detonate remotely.
So they have the
because they actually physically ripped it out.
Yes. Because to deactivate the bomb, they had to do the wire cutting bullshit, you know, like yeah. use the weapon. Red, blue, and you know, as the counter is clicking down, and
right.
Chick is again. I love Chick in this movie. He's just sitting there. Will Patton's the actor, and he's just like, just shut it off. Like even when they're down to like 2 seconds and they're getting ready to cut the red or blue wire, he's like, you guys got to shut this off. Yeah, right. Like that was his whole thing. It's like he had reached full blown panic mode where he had nothing left to give, but you need to shut this off now.
Yeah, just gotta shut it off. Yeah, and so that means that somebody has to stay behind. And so the flight crew obviously has to go because they got to fly the thing, because even though they're astronaut-trained assholes, they can't actually fly the plane. And so they draw straws, and oh no, Ben Affleck, he's got to stay behind, right. And it's sad because he's going to die now.
Yeah, we knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll walk. But again, it didn't have to happen the way it happened. Like, okay, so Bruce Willis takes Ben Affleck down to the bomb, and like rips his oxygen out.
Yeah,
it's like you could have just pushed him in the elevator.
Yeah.
Or reasoned with him, or talked to him, or hit him. But he could have killed him regardless. Like, he literally pulls that hose out of the back of his helmet. Like, what yeah. the fuck are you doing, man?
Also, I don't think it should be that easy to do that.
No, it was. It's one of those things, though, like in movies when you want to disable a car, there's a spider-like contraption. It's a metal box with 8 wires that when you pull it out of the car, and every car has one, it just dies completely. There's no fixing it.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. Yeah, you're right.
That mechanic is called, that piece is called, but I'm guessing it's the shutdown thing.
Yeah, probably. It's probably the shutdown thing or the starter upper. And so like if you pull out the starter upper, it won't starter upper.
It's like the flux capacitor. It's what makes time travel possible.
Yeah. We just don't talk about what that entails.
There's never been an explanation to that.
No.
I don't care what nerds at Comic-Con say. They've never explained it, so no. I don't care what you said.
Yeah, I don't care what video game, comic book, book adaptation. I don't care. The movie never explains it.
No, the movie never explains it. I'm not reading.
And so, yeah, basically, Bruce Willis tells Ben Affleck that he's the son he never had, and he's, like, super happy that he's going to marry his daughter. And, like, oh, my God, it's sad. And
Billy Bob Thornton's going to get the space patch that he wanted because we had that conversation.
Yeah.
Because that 10 hours actually took about 3 days. The 10 hours they had for a day off, there was a lot that happened. Like I said, they traveled to different states.
They got arrested and then never showed how they got out of jail.
No. And they were so big timing the cops.
Oh, yeah.
I am an ass. I love that, though, when they're getting arrested outside the strip club, and it was the most PG-13 strip club ever. Like,
oh, yeah.
If Michael Bay ever bought a strip club, it would not work. It just, there's way too many fish tanks in Michael Bay strip clubs. Yes. And they're outside, and Buscemi's yelling, I'm an astronaut. And Bear is yelling, I'm an astronaut. And everybody's yelling. And all of a sudden, the biker who was fighting with them leans back and goes, yeah, we're all astronauts. Me too.
Yeah, right. We're astronauts. We're astronauts. Like, that's going to get you out of jail.
As I said in White Man Can't Jump, your mom is an astronaut. I never understood why that was an insult. I never understood that one. For years, I've watched that movie and never got that insult. But you know what? Whatever.
Whatever. But yeah, so the crew escapes. Bruce Willis has a tearful goodbye with his daughter, which is... there's the part in...
They've had a hard time talking to these guys the whole time, and he can have a 20-minute Skype conversation with them.
Yes, because convenience. The Bay.
We have a harder time having the connection stay on this show.
Oh, I know.
Than he had talking to his daughter from a fucking rock in space.
Oh yeah, that was hurling through the universe.
I am a 2-hour drive from you. He is in space.
I know, and that's more than 2 hours. Space is more than 2 hours away.
Space is more than 2 hours away.
You know? So, I don't, you know, Aerosmith, blow the thing up. And then...
Aerosmith plays, thing blows up. I didn't like that when they land, Liv Tyler was also... I understand she'd be happy to see Ben Affleck, but I think that it was like she was a bit too happy. Like, you just watched your dad die.
Yeah, you just watched like your dad die.
It was a bit of a weird emotional disconnect, especially, and it happened throughout the movie. Like, there was a lot of people that died in this movie that should have, like,
had a more emotional weight.
Yeah, like, Max died, and they just moved straight the fuck on. Like, I get it, you had other shit to do. I get it, you had to get through that rock to get 800 feet. But you've known this guy for 30 years, you know? And, like, the only one that really felt real was Ben Affleck when Owen Wilson died. Like, he sat and he mourned and screamed and cried and yelled for help. It's like his friend just died. Like, I got that.
Yeah, and it sucks because it's like, yeah, well, we would have been able to mourn the death of characters that we did care about if, like Max, if we didn't blow up the Russian space station. you know what I mean? Like if we don't if we don't blow up the Russian space station and we don't have the, like, the secondary trigger issue, you know what I mean? Like, we could have still done the rest of it but had those moments breathe more. But again, the bay needs to blow shit up, so.
Yes, he does.
The bay gets what the bay wants.
Yes, he does. So I think that we start rolling credits to the 8mm wedding video. Aerosmith plays.
Yeah.
The worst wedding video ever.
Like, oh yeah.
It's ridiculous. And then I think that's Armageddon.
That's Armageddon.
Yeah.
This fucking movie.
Yeah, this fucking movie, man. yeah. So not a lot of, I mean, aside from the Disney buying Bruce Willis's failed movie and turning it into this and The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Not a ton of trivia behind it. I mean, it's a Michael Bay movie, you know. And
yeah, it's very much you get what you pay for.
At the time, it was the highest grossing live action movie for Disney. There was a brief moment that Arnold Schwarzenegger was considered for the role that Bruce Willis got. Very brief. A lot of people involved in it have really disowned it. Like Affleck won't talk about it in interviews. And I think his basically fucking with Michael Bay on the commentary track is evident of that. Like, he's, you know, but again, I want to say we talked about this in our Good Will Hunting episode, but that was so long ago. I don't remember. It's like, coming out of Good Will Hunting, you had Matt and Ben.
Right.
And it was clear what their goals in Hollywood were.
Right.
Matt Damon wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck wanted to be a star.
Yeah, he wanted to be a movie star.
He went with, give me the biggest paychecks. I don't give a shit about the content.
Yeah, because like he went and did Reindeer Games.
Projects. Yeah, Reindeer Games. He was doing rom-coms with Sandra Bullock. It was like he was just taking paychecks. And he didn't start, for lack of a better term, thinking about his scripts until much later. And then obviously became, you know, the actor, writer, and director that we know now from The Town and Gone Baby Gone. And, you know.
Right. Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. Batman. You know, and he became a great actor.
Right.
I have no problem saying that about Ben Affleck.
Argo.
It just took a lot longer. Like, he wanted to make money.
Yeah.
You could tell. Like, he's a young guy in Hollywood. He just won his first Oscar. And he wanted to make some money. And that's what this movie was. Even Steve Buscemi in an interview said, I took the role because I needed a new house.
Yeah.
You know, this was a paycheck for a lot of people.
Sure.
A pretty damn good one as well.
Also, like, I would love to just be that level where it's just like, yeah, I'll do this silly Michael Bay blow him up movie for money.
Yeah.
You know, I've said a lot of stuff about Michael Bay in this episode, but Michael Bay makes money. He makes a lot of money.
I mean, I haven't seen one of those Transformers movies, but a lot of people have.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
I know.
A lot of people have. Another little fun fact that came out of the Criterion commentary. It's the one with Bruce Willis on it. That at the time, Disney chairman Michael Eisner just popped into the recording studio and told Bruce Willis he was fired and replaced by Kevin Costner.
Wait, what?
It's a weird thing. Like he must have just, it's one of those things. Okay, so again, I'm a fan of commentary tracks. I listen to a lot of them. The Anchorman one.
Yeah.
It was clear wherever they were recording, there was a lot of shit going on because Andy Richter shows up on the commentary track. Zach Galifianakis pops in on the commentary track. Yeah. Ben Stiller pops. It's like wherever they're recording, whatever their recording studio is, there must be like people. And it's like if you walk by a recording studio and you see one of your buddies, and if you're Michael Eisner, you own the recording studio and can just walk in and fuck with Bruce Willis, you're going to take that opportunity.
Yeah, of course.
So it's basically that. He just popped in and was fucking with him. And that was
that's so funny.
He's like, we're going to fire you and replace you with Kevin Costner. It's like, all right, weird. I didn't want to be here anyway.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to do this anyway. The craziest thing is it's bananas that somebody that loves movies as much as they do and loves himself as much as they do, Quentin Tarantino doesn't do commentary tracks.
No. He's
crazy.
He has commented on that specifically because he doesn't want to do them for his own movies. Despite what public opinion is, according to him, he doesn't really like watching his own movies.
Okay.
But he's done them for True Romance. Yeah. And the really good one he did was with Robert Rodriguez for From Dusk Till Dawn. And that was where he actually, because Robert Rodriguez loves commentary tracks, does commentary tracks for all. He's kind of like the Kevin Smith of action movies, basically.
Right.
He does all the bonus features he'll throw in there. He does fucking cooking schools on his DVDs.
Yeah.
But he actually asked Quentin on the From Dusk Till Dawn one why he doesn't do more of these, and Quentin kind of explained, but the nutshell was he doesn't like watching his own movies.
I guess.
He thinks it's pretentious to sit there and just talk about your own movie. But he'll talk about ones he'd written. That's why he did that one and True Romance.
Right.
And he did a bunch of them when, for a while in the late 90s, he had this, like, he was buying, like, old Grindhouse movies and releasing them under a Rolling Thunder label, which was basically sub-financed by Miramax. Only reason I knew about it, I was running video stores at the time. We had a bunch of them. And he would do commentary tracks for those. So it was a commentary track from him on like Switchblade Sisters and Chungking Express and all of those. He would basically sit and watch those movies.
Yeah, which is cool. And I do like it. You know, I do like that. But it's tough because, no, I want to hear you talk about your movie.
I 100% agree. I would love to hear a lot of his commentary tracks for any of his movies. 100%.
Yeah.
It's not in the cards.
Yeah.
It's just weird. And again, it's becoming like a very lost art form very quickly. Like people just
don't do it. Well, it's just because everything's streaming. And, you know, now I think Disney Plus is the first one that really kind of started doing it, adding those special features in. So you can watch it with a commentary track. You know,
Endgame has that, right?
Endgame had a bunch of bonus content.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be really interesting because the 3rd, July 3rd, Hamilton, the play is being released on Disney Plus. And it'll be really interesting if there's a DVD commentary or a commentary track from Lin-Manuel Miranda, because that would be fascinating to watch. A lot of those people that are in that play have gone on to be prominent Hollywood people, or at least on the up.
Okay,
and
so I know I didn't see the play, obviously. It was
too
expensive and tickets weren't available. I know very little about it other than it's a very popular play.
Yes.
What is being put on Disney Plus, did they film something separate, or did they film a performance from the actual play?
So Disney is going to be releasing a lot, like an actual film version of Hamilton.
They went to a performance.
But they went to a performance. This is a recording of the Broadway performance.
So they didn't make something new.
No, that's coming. But the thing that's being released on July 3rd is a released copy of the actual Broadway play with the original cast.
See, that I'm more interested in. Because again, I didn't see the play. So I want to, it's one of those things, like, basically, I want to see what all the hype is about.
See, so I have seen the play. I went saw
it. It's a little different than seeing it with, because I'm guessing you didn't see it with the original Broadway cast.
Right, exactly. And that's the part that makes me so excited, because Lin-Manuel Miranda was not in the version I saw. And while
I saw Book of Mormon in Boston, but I didn't see it with Josh Gad in that.
Right. Movie. And that's another one where it's like, I have seen Book of Mormon as well. Josh Gad was not in the Book of Mormon I saw, but I would love to see the Book of Mormon with Josh Gad in it.
Right. Absolutely.
You know? And so it's the same thing to that. It's weird because there is like, there's no Broadway equivalent to Netflix, but there are so many things where it's like, I don't have the ability to see it, but I would love to, because that's one, you know, that Hamilton, you know, the but original.
It's one of those things. It's just between not living in New York.
Right.
And tickets being such high demand and the resale of them just being ridiculously priced.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost impossible for regular Joes like you and me to go see these things.
Well, and it's like, you know, you do it because the money is in the first run, right? Yeah. You see these things like Dear Evan Hansen, like that cast has moved on. I would love to see Dear Evan Hansen with that cast, you know? And so it's like, yeah, since they've all moved on, tickets are a little bit easier to get, and I would love to see the actual live experience of it.
Sure.
But yeah, I would pay to watch the original cast.
I remember when I saw Book of Mormon in Boston, someone actually is sitting in front of me, shushed me for laughing too much.
Oh, stupid.
It just popped back in my head that happened. I remember it was I was there. I was with a couple of friends, and my buddy's girlfriend was sitting next to me, and she's like, "That guy fucking shushed you during this? It's like, what is that?"
Yeah.
I was just laughing.
Yeah.
I wasn't that guy repeating the joke back. I was literally just laughing at the funny play I was watching, as you're supposed to, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know this was proper theater. I didn't have my monocle in.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. So that's Armageddon.
Yes.
Next week, what the hell did we say we were doing?
Judge Dredd.
The original Dredd.
Yes, the original Judge Dredd.
The original Judge Dredd. Sly Stallone making his comeback here on the action movie quarantine for that movie show. So stick around for that. Plus day two of Eddie and I's 30-day film challenge. Thank you for joining us for Armageddon on that movie show's action movie quarantine. By all means, follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag that movie show. The website is thatmovieshow.net. If you go to Eddie's tab right at the top, you can also find links to his Disney Princess series that he's been doing, both audio and YouTube, are right there on the site. The Facebook page is facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv, which I've been trying to share all of them. I think I might be a week behind on your Disney Princess thing, but I'll do it right now.
I'm pretty sure I have it set up to automatically share anyway, it's fine.
So it's there. And of course, you can find the video versions of this. And let us know if you want us to review anything. We got a few more weeks of action movie quarantine before we jump right into Arnold August.
Arnold August.
Yeah. So we're quote unquote stopping action movie quarantine, but we're going to do more action movies in August.
Yes.
Because it's summer blockbuster time, baby.
It is.
Thanks for joining us. And subscribe to on any and all podcasting apps. We are on them. And we'll see you next week for Judge Dredd.
Bye, everybody.
That's Ruby Valley, Hooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic. Just
enjoy.
Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot, Neil. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$2-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.